Samahanta Chakkavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Sadhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sagamokkhadam Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda Dhamma Savana Kalo Ayam Badanda. Okay, so today I would like to share with you one of the profound sutta from Majjhima Nikaya 118. And this sutta given by the Buddha at Savatthi in the Eastern Park. This park is supported by Migara's mother, Visakha, the most generous female devotee, Visakha. And at that time, Buddha stayed with many well-known elders or many well-known monks. For example, Venerable Sariputta, Venerable Moggallana, Venerable Mahakasapa, Venerable Mahakacchana, Ananda, Venerable Anuruddha. It is not easy for all these famous, well-known elders to gather together. Therefore, in this occasion, Buddha preached Anapanasati Sutta. And among the audience at that time, Buddha said, Buddha is very satisfied with the monk's progress. And Buddha said that among the practitioners, some of them practice four foundations of mindfulness, Satipatthana Sutta. Some practice four Brahma Vihara, loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, mudita, and karuna, compassion. And some practice foundlessness, 32 parts, the impurity of the body by way of 32 parts. And some practice perception of impermanence. So when we talk about perception of impermanence, how Buddha taught this perception of impermanence? In another sutta, Anguttara Nikaya Sutta, Girimananda Sutta, the 10 perception, Buddha said, katamecha ananda, anicca sanya. And Buddha say, rupang anicchang, vedana anicchang, sanya anicchang, sankhara anicchang, viyanang anicchang. By way of five aggregates, khanda, contemplate permanence on our materiality, our feeling, our perception, our formation and our consciousness internally or externally. This is the way how to practice perception of impermanent. And later on Buddha said there are also some practice anapanasati. So and Buddha said how to practice anapanasati. And Buddha said, monks, when mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated, it is of great fruit and great benefit. When mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated, it fulfills the four foundations of mindfulness. When the four foundations of mindfulness are developed and cultivated, they fulfill the seven enlightenment factors. When the seven enlightenment factors are developed and cultivated, they fulfill true knowledge and deliverance. All the time we know Anapanasati is Samatha meditation. We never know that Anapanasati is related to four foundations of mindfulness. We never know that Anapanasati is related to seven factors of enlightenment. Therefore, this sutta is profound sutta, and Buddha gives this, please remember, the audience of the suttas are, some are arahant, some are anagami, some are sakadagami, some are sotapanna. So the audience are highly cultivated. Therefore, Buddha gives such profound sutta. Okay, and how, because is mindfulness of breathing developed and cultivated so that it is of great fruit and great benefit? Here, a bhikkhu gone to the forest or to the foot of a tree or to an empty hut, sit down, having folded his legs crosswise, set his body erect, and established mindfulness in front of him. Ever mindful, he breathed in, ever mindful, he breathed out. So if a person wants to practice Anapanasati, no, must remember the object is breathing in, breathing out. What should he cultivate is mindfulness only. Just mindfully breathing in and breathing out. This is the starting point. Keep attention under, in front of you, or in front of you, or in front of the face, or under the nostril, and mindfully breathing in and breathing out. And later on, Buddha explain, we call four tetrate. The first one is breathing in long. He understands, I breathing in long, or breathing out long. He understands, I breathe out long. What does it mean long here? The long here refers to the duration of the time. When you take longer time to finish your breathing in or breathing out, it takes a longer time to finish. This is called long breath. So your mindfulness must know you are breathing in long breath. But you have to let the breath come naturally, without trying to make your breath long or short deliberately. Let it come naturally. Okay. Then the second one, I breathe in short or breathing in short. He understands, I breathing in short or breathing out short. He understands, I breathe out short. This is the second one. So long and short refer to the duration of times. Those who have practiced Anapana for some time must understand this one, or already understood this one. And the third one, he trained us, I shall breathe in, experiencing the whole body of breath. The whole body of breath, this of breath is added one. In Pali we call kaya, sabba kaya pati sangvedi. So sabba kaya translated as the whole body. However, commentary say that this whole body refer to the whole breath body. So when breathing in, breathing out, you know the whole breath body. But some of the monks did not agree what commentary said. He said the whole body refer to the whole body, our physical body. So breathing in, breathing out, he know the whole body. So some of the monks have their own opinion. But according to commentary, the whole body, sabbakaya patisangvedi, whole body refer to the whole breath body. You may ask, then what is my opinion? I would like my student to feel the whole breath body first. Breathing in, breathing out. His mindfulness can catch the whole breath body. However, if such yogi feel tension to feel the whole body, whole breath body, because you need to look very close in order to trace, no, the whole breath body, you need to look very close. And looking very close easily cause tension. Tension on the forehead, on the ear, on the nose. So if tension occur, then you withdraw a little bit. You can breathing in, breathing out, aware of the whole body. So my opinion, I walk the middle path. So if first one you feel you follow the whole breath body, comfortable, good mindfulness, go ahead. But if you feel tense up by looking so close, from the beginning up to the end of the in-breath, beginning up to the end of out-breath, then better withdraw a little bit, set back a little bit, and while breathing in and breathing out, you also aware the whole body. Okay, this is my point of view. And when you can aware of the whole breath body, your mindfulness becomes sharper, alert. Your mindfulness becomes precise, sharp, and alert. Then in between, because you can follow the whole breath body, in between, very less thoughts will arise. Okay. But in order to achieve better concentration, you have to tranquilize the breath. You have to calm down the breath. So we come to the fourth stage. Between thus, I shall breathe in, tranquilizing the body formations. Between thus, I shall breathe out, tranquilizing the body formation. Body formation, kaya sankara, Pali, kaya sankara. In another sutta, Visakha asks his wife, his former wife, who is Arahant, Dhammadina. So Visakha asks Dhammadina, what is kaya sankara? Then Arahant Dhammadina said that kaya sankara refers to breathing in, breathing out. Therefore, I shall breathe out, tranquilizing the body formation. What's body formation? If you don't understand the sutta, you think the whole body formation. But according to, you know, Arahant Dhammadina, body formation means your breath, breathing. So to reach the final stage, you have to calm down your breath. Your breath cannot be gross. If your breath is very clear all the time, then you cannot achieve deep concentration. You must make your breath subtle, very calm, almost cannot feel it. When your breath still very gross, it means that your mind and body still gross. But when your mind and body become more subtle, your breath concentration develops, your breath also will become subtle. This is the important point. As concentration develops, the breath become more and more subtle, more and more refined. This is what Buddha said, tranquilizing the bodily formation, tranquilizing the breathing in or breathing out, tranquilizing the bodily formation. At this time, when the breath becomes so subtle, the nimitta may appear, the light may appear. But whether it appear or not appear, you should not chase after the light. Okay, now we come to the second tetrad. The first tetrad, tranquilizing the bodily formation, from that one can achieve first jhana. And when your breath becomes so subtle, and your mind can establish or can stay with the breath continuously for 1 and 2 hours without thoughts in between, then one can achieve first jhana. Now we come to second tetrad. He trained thus, I shall breathe in experiencing rapture. He trained thus, I shall breathe out experiencing rapture. Okay. There are two ways to explain this sentence. By way of samatha, concentration, or by way of vipassana, insight. If by way of samatha, I shall breathe in experiencing rapture, he achieved second jhana. However, in the first jhana, a yogi also can experience rapture. The rapture pervades the whole body. Every part of his body he feels, you know, like tingling, vibration. Now he feels a rapture. All over the body. But the second jhana, rapture is more prominent. So in this one, he already achieved, if by way of concentration, this person, I shall breathe in experiencing rapture, refer to second jhana. The rapture also pervades the whole body. And if by way of insight, by way of insight, when a person, let's say, he enter in the second jhana, when he emerge from the second jhana, he contemplate this rapture as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self. When he contemplate this rapture as impermanent, suffering, and non-self, and he also feel rapture. He also feel joy. This joy also pervades the whole body. Therefore, I shall breathe in experiencing rapture. There are two ways to interpret this sentence, by way of concentration or by way of insight. Okay, let us continue. Then he trained thus, I shall breathe in experiencing pleasure. Pleasure is sukha. Sukha, happiness. I shall breathe out experiencing pleasure, happiness. Rapture, Rapture has is manifested by way of lightness. Lightness, very light. The whole body like floating in the air. But pleasure, sukha, is more grounded. Still pervade the whole body. The happiness pervade the whole body. Any part of the body, you feel the pleasure. So this is the third jhana. The third jhana. If you practice samatha, and this third jhana. And if you practice vipassana, you contemplate this pleasure as impermanent, as suffering, as non-self. So when you contemplate this a pleasure as impermanent, suffering, and non-self, you also feel happiness. So at that time, but although he contemplate pleasure as impermanent, suffering, and non-self, he is still breathing in and breathing out. No? While breathing in, breathing out, he contemplate impermanent, suffering and non-self of the happiness. Okay, next one. I shall breathe in experiencing the mental formation. What's mental formation? I shall breathe out experiencing the mental formation. Mental formation means Kaya Sankhara. This one is Mano Sankhara or Chitta Sankhara. Mental formation, according to the sutta, mental formation refers to perception and feeling, two together. Perception and feeling is called mental formation. So from here, you can understand this sutta is not easy. You must understand the words, what the Pali words, mental formation. What is the meaning of mental formation? And this sutta also refers to jhana, vipassana. So this very profound sutta, because the audience, many of the audience are Arya person, the noble one. So the third one, I say breathe in and breathe out, experiencing the mental formation. And the fourth one, I shall breathe in and out, tranquilizing the mental formation. This refers to the fourth jhana. Fourth jhana. You see, the mental formation consists of perception and feeling. So in the fourth jhana, the happiness gone already. No more happiness, only equanimity. Equanimity is very subtle. So you tranquilize your happiness. You let the happiness subside and let equanimity takes over. And the perception on the breath becomes so subtle. It is said that in the fourth jhana, there's no breath. Therefore, you tranquilize the perception on the breath. You cannot perceive the breath anymore. Therefore, it says you tranquilize the mental formation. Mental formation consists of feeling and perception. No more pleasure, no more happiness feeling, only equanimity. And the perception on the breath also completely stop. Therefore, this sentence refers to the fourth jhana. Okay? Very profound. Now we come to the third tetrad. He trained thus. I shall breathe in, experiencing the mind. He trains thus. I shall breathe out, experiencing the mind. How you understand experiencing the mind? In Sutta 111, Buddha explained Venerable Sariputta's experience. He said that Venerable Sariputta, while entering into first jhana, he emerged from the first jhana, then he experiencing the mind. The mind consists of consciousness and mental factors. According to Abhidhamma, because Abhidhamma is explained in minute detail, so the mind, according to Abhidhamma, consists of mental factors and the consciousness. So experiencing the mind, including consciousness and mental factors. So first, consciousness. Breathing in, breathing out, experiencing the mind. The mind cognizes the breath. If the mind does not cognize the breath, who knows the breath? When you breathe in and breathe out, tell me who cognizes the breath? Who knows the breath? Jia Hong, who knows the breath? When you breathe in and breathe out, who knows the breath?
Consciousness.
Yes. Luckily you didn't say, I know the breath. Okay, so consciousness cognizes the breath. So when you can feel the consciousness cognize the breath, then you experience in the mind. However, consciousness alone cannot function. Because consciousness cannot arise alone, it must be accompanied by many mental factors. Therefore, we also experience contact. When you feel the breathing in, breathing out. There's a contact, mental contact, also physical contact. If you can feel the touching point, there's a physical contact. But mental, you also contact with the breath. Right? So mental factor of contact, also contact the breath. Then, who feel the rupture? Who feel the pleasure?
Vedana.
Vedana, yes, feeling. Feeling feels the rupture, feeling feels the pleasure. So you also understand, because you already explained rupture, you already experienced pleasure, so you ask yourself, who feels this pleasant feeling? If you say I, then you have the wrong view of perception of self, right? Buddha said there's no self. Since there's no I who feel the pleasure or who feel the rupture, then there must be mind. There must be mind feel it. But we want to know precisely what is that mental factor. Mental factor that feels the pleasure. That is Vedana, feeling. So you start to analyze, feeling feels the pleasure of the breath. Okay. Then next one, who perceive the breath? Who perceive the breath? Without perceive the breath, you cannot feel pleasure also, right? So who perceive the breath? Perception, yes, correct. So perception perceive the breath. Okay. Then another one. When you are breathing in, breathing out, do you think you are performing the good karma or bad karma? Good karma or bad karma? Of course, good karma. How can it be bad karma? Because the mind is rid of all refinements, right? So breathing in, breathing out, they call adhicitta, highest mind. So we are accumulating the good karma. Who is performing this good karma? Who create this good karma? Or who act upon this good karma? Volition, cetana, volition. So volition act upon the breath and create and accumulate good karma. Okay, so another one. When you are breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out, who does not forget the breath? Who helps you to remember the breath? Sati, very good. Mindfulness. Also, you analyze, because of mindfulness helps me to remember the breath. Remember the breath again and again. Without sati, then I forget the breath. My mind goes somewhere else. Okay, then another one. While breathing in, breathing out, you trust that by constantly be aware of the breath, you will achieve jhana. You have that trust. What's that trust? Faith. You have faith. You have faith in the breathing in, breathing out. You know, if I continuously focus or be mindful of my breath without interruption, gradually I will achieve jhana. That trust is not a person, not I, not you, not me. It's a mental factor of faith. So there are more than 20. I'm not going to tell you all, okay? I'll just give you some examples. So this is called how Buddha said experiencing the mind. But okay, another one. Let me tell you one more. When you constantly mindful, there are another two or three factors, mental factors that you need to know. First, who pay attention to the breath? Who direct your attention to the breath? For example, I'm reading my book, and suddenly appear in front of me. So then I will shift my attention from my book to look at her. So who direct my mind to go to look at this person? Manasikara, attention. So it's very easy. If you don't pay attention to your breath, your mind will not come to the breath, right? Your mind will go somewhere else. But if you put attention to the breath, then you know the breath. Then mindfulness know the breath. So in order to keep on trying to draw your attention to the breath, there's one more mental factor. Effort. Effort. Effort keeps on trying again and again to draw your attention to the breath or to pay attention to the breath. So this effort. Many people identify effort is myself. They try very hard. They say, I try very hard. They don't know. You try very hard. Effort, try very hard. So as you keep on analyzing, as you keep on analyzing each composition of the mind, break down the compactness of the mind, then you will see many different factors, many different mental factors perform their own function only. And at that time, you realize non-self nature of the mind. When you realize the non-self nature of the mind, at the same time, you will ask yourself a question. What the mind knows? Okay, when you are breathing in, breathing out, what the mind knows? Answer, please. The mind knows what? When you're breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, breathing out. The mind knows breath. Right? The mind knows breath. So, the mind also investigates. What is this breath? What is the breath? Breath is only concept. Conventional truth. You analyze conventional truth, you will reach ultimate truth. So in an ultimate sense, what is the breath? Breath is everything in the world, every material thing in the world is composed by four elements. Please don't forget. So breath is also materiality. So breath is also composed by four elements. But breath, because when you're breathing in, breathing out, the breath keep on coming, going, therefore it has wind element as predominant factor. So if I ask you, what is the breath? How should you answer? Breath is composed of four elements, but breath has wind element as predominant factor. So the mind will investigate, the mind will know. And where is the breath comes from? Depend on what the breath arises. Now we are applying what? We are applying wisdom to investigate. Depend on what the breath arises. Xiu-Ling, how come you don't know? Depend on the body, right? Without body, where the breath, how can the breath comes? So depend on the body, the breath arises. And you analyze the body. What is the body? Body is also consists of earth element, water element, fire element, and wind element. When you understand this, you will understand later Buddha explained four foundations of mindfulness. Contemplation on body. There's a body in the body. If you don't understand this, you are not going to understand the later part of the teaching of the Buddha. So you see, this type of talk, how can I tell other people? Most people will fall asleep if I give such talk, right? Unless a person is very keen to know more, very keen to go deep into the teaching of the Buddha, otherwise I find no chance to talk. Unless you have sound knowledge of the Buddha, that you are very keen to learn more and more. Therefore, I never talk this talk because no suitable audience. Even today, audience may not suitable, but still I have to talk, otherwise I have no chance to talk. Okay, so I shall breathe in, experiencing the mind. The mind is a composition of mental factors and the consciousness. So you analyze one by one, you understand non-self nature of the mind. And also you will know, okay, what is the characteristic of mind? What is the nature of the mind? The nature of the mind is bending towards the object. The mind bends towards the object. So in the Anapanasati, the mind bends towards the breath. Breath is the object, right? But breath is a conventional truth. So you investigate what is the breath, four elements. Where it comes from? On the body. So your understanding now becomes sharper. Breath is nama. The mind is, breath is rupa. The mind is nama. So nama, rupa, nama, rupa. Now you are able to distinguish what is rupa, what is nama. This is called nama rupa paricheda jnana. First insight knowledge. Okay. Then he trained us. I shall breathe in, gladdening the mind. He trained us. I shall breathe out, gladdening the mind. When you experience in this way, now your insight, wisdom becomes sharper. You understand already, this nama, this rupa, there's no self. Only this nama rupa, two interact together. So when you have this understanding, do you think you will feel happy or not? Yes or no? Yes, this is what we want to achieve, right? Therefore, then you have happiness, gladdening the mind. So you breathing in, breathing out, you make your mind happy. Because of the understanding, because of the new understanding you just achieved, the mind become happy. So breathing in, breathing out, gladdening the mind. Gladdening the mind means happiness, make the mind happy. And next one, he trained us, I shall breathe in, concentrating the mind. He trained us, I shall breathe out, concentrating the mind. When you gladden the mind, when the mind becomes happy, the mind actually is not calm, not very calm. Still some wave. So if the mind is, if your mind is emotional, because happiness, rupture and happiness are close to emotional. So when your mind is emotional, then you cannot achieve higher concentration as well. Therefore, you have to calm down the mind again. So he breathes in, breathes out, concentrating the mind again. Don't only stay in the happiness for the day. In order to break through, go one step higher, you calm down your happiness and concentrating the mind again. So Buddha said, I shall breathe in, concentrating the mind. If you have jhana, you go back to the jhana. Okay? If you don't have the jhana, you don't let that happiness disturb the mind. I shall breathe in, concentrating the mind. I shall breathe out, concentrating the mind. And the last one, he trained thus, I shall breathe in, liberating the mind. I shall breathe out, liberating the mind. What does it mean, liberating the mind? Liberating from what?
Everything is impermanent. So yourself, you can attach to myself, not mind, I, so it is
Okay, so liberating the mind, there are two ways of explanation here. If by way of samatha, liberating the mind, you're liberating your mind from the five hindrances. Divarana. You're liberating your mind from the sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and remorse and doubt. So you're liberating the mind from the five hindrances and achieve jhana again. And once you achieve first jhana, you also liberating your mind to achieve second jhana. How you liberating your mind to achieve second jhana? In Anguttara Nikaya 9.34, if I'm not mistaken, Venerable Sariputta explained this one. He said that when a person practice jhana, he achieved first jhana, so he has vitaka vichara, initial application of mind and a sustained application of mind, and rapture and happiness born from seclusion. The mind secluded from sensual desire. The mind secluded from five hindrances. Only you can achieve first jhana. Okay? So he stayed in the first jhana. Master the first jhana. After that, in order to move to the second jhana. So let's say when he is in the first jhana, this rupture and happiness born of seclusion from the sensual pleasures and five hindrances. But in the first jhana, suddenly the thought about sensual pleasures occur in this person. What do you think? Do you think he feel happiness or he feel suffering? I got to ask you, I see all of you feel sleepy already. If for this reason, I don't want to give profound talk. What do you think? Do you think he feel happiness or he feel suffering? Suffering. Previously, before he entered into first jhana, right? He enjoyed sensual pleasures so much. Without sensual pleasures, he's like a fish, being taken up from the pond and thrown into dry land. And he struggling, want to go back to the pond. Because water is his sensual pleasures. He want to go back to the place where he can feel the water. Water is his sensual pleasures. So previously, before we attain first jhana, we live, our constant companion is sensual pleasures. Now he enter into first jhana. He enter into first jhana, but once a while, the thought about sensual pleasures will occur in him. At that time, do you think he feel pleasure? Or he feels suffering? Louder, louder. Yes. At that time he feels suffering already. No more pleasure. So he have to, at this time he have to liberate the mind from this the thought of sensual pleasure. And when he, okay, so in the first jhana, he had to liberate his mind from the sensual pleasures. And when he achieved second jhana, when he achieved second jhana, there's no vitaka, no vichara, no sustained, no initial application of thought, and no sustained application of thought, only piti, sukha, ekagata. So at that time, in the second jhana, but suddenly, the initial application of thought, vitaka, vichara, sometimes invade his mind, occur again in him. At that time, do you think he feel pleasure or he feel suffering? Suffering. Because he want to stay in the second jhana. But the vitaka vichara is belong to first jhana. So while he stay in the second jhana and the vitaka vichara still occur in him, to him at that time, vitaka vichara is considered suffering, affliction to him. So he had to liberate his mind from vitaka vichara. If he want to enter into the second jhana, he has to liberate his mind from initial application of mind and sustained application of the mind. This is what Buddha mean, liberating the mind. The same thing in the third jhana. In the third jhana has two jhana factors, happiness and ekagata. So in the third jhana, if he feel that rupture occur again, then he feels suffering, not happiness. So he has to liberate his mind from rupture, from piti. He doesn't want piti anymore. In order to achieve higher jhana, he liberate his mind from piti. Similarly, if he want to attain fourth jhana, he got to liberate his mind from happiness. He doesn't want happiness. He only want equanimous. So this is what Buddha mean, I shall breathe out, liberating the mind. Okay? This by way of concentration. If by way of insight, vipassana meditation, how? I shall breathe in, liberating the mind. I shall breathe out, liberating the mind. Previously, we already understand, I shall breathe in, experiencing the mind. When he breathe in, breathe out, experiencing the mind, he already understand there's no self, right? Each mental factor is not self. He already know. Now he come to the, I shall breathe in, breathe out, liberating the mind. So he liberate his mind. He liberate his mind from the perception of self. Previously, he breathe in, breathe out, he know there's, the thing is a self, breathing in, breathing out. But once he experiencing the mind, he know all only mental factors, only nama rupa. So he can liberate his mind from the perception of self, permanent self. He find no permanent self. So he liberating his mind from the perception of self. Okay, and he liberating the mind from the body. The body is only four elements. The body also doesn't belong to me. So he liberating his mind from the perception of self in regard to body and mind. And if you understand Abhidhamma in more detail, you understand the cognitive process, viti. Cognitive process, javana, all mind moment arising, passing away. Each moment is discrete moment. Each moment arising and passing away, taking the breath as object. And each moment consciousness arising and passing away, you find no self at all. It's just a continuity of processes. So if you can understand this point, you also liberate your mind from the perception of permanent self or eternal self. Okay, please bear with me. Another tetric finish. Okay, last fourth tetric. He trained thus, I shall breathe in contemplating impermanence. Okay, how to practice? He trained thus, I shall breathe out contemplating impermanence. How to practice?
Is all mental phenomena. So all mental phenomena are permanent, arise in the past, in the future, so we
Yeah, so I shall breathe in, contemplating impermanent. Impermanent, there are two ways. As we know, just now we already understand liberating our mind from nama rupa. There's no self, only nama rupa, mind, materiality, and mentality. So, contemplating impermanent, you can look at the breath first, body, rupa first. So if you look at the rupa, if your mindfulness is precise enough, one breath in, there are many arising and passing away in the one breath in. If you can look very closely, breath in before the end, there are many arising and passing away. Breath out also same. But your mindfulness is not sharp, you just know it's breathed out, you cannot see so detailed. Okay? So if you see one in, there are so many arising and passing away inside one in breath. And there are so many arising and passing away inside one breath, out breath. Then you know it's impermanent. This rupa in regard to rupa materiality. But in regard to nama, mind runs faster than the body. Mind runs faster than the materiality. Mentality runs faster than materiality. So, if you can see one breathing in up to the end, one breathing in up to the end, from the beginning up to the end, many consciousness already arising and passing away. And consciousness is associated with mental factors, right? Just like we say, the contact, the feeling, you know. So one breath in, there are many consciousness or feeling already arising and passing away, arising and passing away. So you also see the impermanence of mind. So I shall breathe in, contemplating impermanent in regard to both breath itself and the mind that knows the breath itself. That passing away even faster. So, breathing in, breathing out, we contemplate impermanence. Not only verbally say, not only say impermanent, you really see it. So next one, you train thus, I shall breathe in, contemplating fading away. Fading away of what? Passion, yes, very good. Fading away of lust, passion, or desire. So when you breathe in and breathe out, you contemplate impermanent. Now breath also impermanent, arising, passing away. The mind who knows the breath also arising and passing away. If you see it again and again, again and again, do you think you will attach to it? You will attach to them or not? Of course, no. You can't attach. Even you want to attach to them, you can't. Because they keep on passing away. So if you come to this state, then you are breathing in, breathing out, contemplating, fading away. Fading away of your lust, your desire, your passion towards nama rupa. Breath is rupa, knowing mind is nama. So breathing in, breathing out, you contemplate the fading away of the desire, the lust for breath and the mind. Then again, he trained us, I shall breathe in, contemplating cessation. I shall breathe out, contemplating cessation. Cessation of what? Cessation, there are two types of cessation. One is, we call momentary cessation. One is completely cessation. So breathing in, breathing out. Just now I see, you see the in-breath a lot arising and passing away. Passing away is cessation, right? Then arise again, then pass away, passing away again. And mind also same, arising, passing away. This is called momentary cessation. But as long as our lifespan, we're still alive in this world, even Arahant, he also experienced momentary cessation. When he reached Parinibbana, no more body, no more mind, then he reached completely cessation. So here cessation refer to momentary cessation and completely cessation. Okay. And the last one, I shall breathe in contemplating relinquishment. I shall breathe out contemplating relinquishment. But this relinquishment is giving up, relinquish the all the refinements that block the path. You give up, relinquish them. So breathing in, breathing out, whatever, now the refinement that arise, relinquish them, give them up. So this one, I shall breathe in, out, contemplating relinquishment, can refer to insight knowledge or refer to Nibbana. When you enter into Nibbana, you also relinquish many defilements. Okay, let us. So the Buddha said, after he explained this fourth tetrad, Buddha said, Bhikkhus, that is how mindfulness of breathing is developed and cultivated so that it is of great fruit and a great benefit. Now we are talking, now next we are going to relate how this Anapanasati relate to four foundations of mindfulness, okay? And how, Bhikkhus, does mindfulness of breathing develop and cultivated fulfill the four foundations of mindfulness? So, you remember first tetrad, right? First tetrad, there are four. One is breathing in long, breathing out long. Second, breathing in, out, short. Third, breathing in, out, experiencing the whole breath body. Then the fourth, breathing in, breathing out, tranquilizing bodily formation, right? So you also have to remember four, otherwise you cannot understand. So these are the first tetrad. Then Buddha said, so when you finish this first tetrad, tranquilizing the body formation, then Buddha said, on that occasion, a bhikkhu abides contemplating the body as a body. Four foundation of mindfulness. The first foundation is kaya nupasana satipatthana, right? Contemplation on body. So now Buddha relates it. He said, on that occasion, the bhikkhu abides contemplating the body as a body. Ardent, fully aware and mindful, having put away covetousness and grief for the world, I say that there is a certain body among the bodies, namely inbreathing and outbreathing. So Buddha said that there is a certain body among the body. What does it mean? Just now I have already explained. Breathing in and out, breath is also a body, right? Also a body and consists of four elements. But this four elements also arise, rely on the physical body, which is also four elements, right? Therefore, Buddha say, I say that this is a certain body. Certain body means the breath body, among the physical body. The breath body among the whole physical body. This is what Buddha meant, okay? Namely inbreathing and outbreathing. That is why on that occasion, a bhikkhu abides contemplating the body as a body. And what Buddha want to say is abides contemplating the body as a body, also to show that body is not a self. Breathing is not a self. The physical body is also not a self. That's why Buddha used two types of body. He didn't say that. That is why on that occasion a bhikkhu advised contemplating the body in a self. No. Buddha say that is why on that occasion a bhikkhu advised contemplating the body as a body, not the body as a self. So for this reason, Buddha emphasized two times body as a body, not body as a self. Understand? Okay. Ardent, fully aware and mindful, having put away covetousness and grief for the world. So this is called contemplation, kaya nupasana satipatthana. So by understanding the first tetrad, you practice kaya nupasana satipatthana. Okay, now we come to the second tetrad. Remember or not? I think I need to. Okay, any question? Release. No question? This sutta is not easy to explain. People only explain Anapanasati only. First tetrad, easy. The second tetrad, third, no, very difficult. I also never teach this sutta. Any question? No question? Okay, Sao Tong.